Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15. The Pandavas retire timely. Text number 5. Arjuna vacha, vanchita, aham, maharaja, harina, bandhu rupina, yena, me, aparitam, Tejra Deva Vishmapanam Mahat Arjuna Vacha Vanchitoham Maharaja Maharina Bandhu Rupina Yena me paritam tejo Deva Vishma Panam Mahat Arjuna Vacha Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhu Rupina Yena me paritam tejo Deva Vishma Panam Mahat Arjuna Uvacha Arjuna said Vanchita left by him Aham myself Maharaja O King Harina by the personality of Godhead Bandhu Rupina as if an intimate friend Yena by whom May my Aparitam I have been bereft Teja power Deva, the demigods. Vishmapanam, astonishing. Mahat, astounding. I think Mahat should actually mean great. But here, somehow or another, it's translated as astounding. In other words, greatly astonishing. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna said, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus my astounding power, which astonished even the demigods, is no longer with me. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:41, the Lord says, anyone specifically powerful and opulent in wealth, strength, beauty, knowledge, and all that is materially desirable is to be considered but a product of an insignificant portion of the complete whole of my energy. No one therefore can be independently powerful in any measure without being endowed by the Lord. When the Lord descends on the earth along with his eternal ever-liberated associates, he not only displays the divine energy possessed by himself, but he also empowers his associate devotees with the required energy to execute his mission of incarnation. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:5 that the Lord and his eternal associates descend on the earth many times. But the Lord remembers all the different roles of incarnations, whereas the associates, by his supreme will, forget them. Similarly, the Lord takes away with him all his associates when he disappears from the earth. The power and energy which were bestowed upon Arjuna were required for the fulfillment of the mission of the Lord, but when his mission was fulfilled, the emergency powers were withdrawn from Arjuna because the astounding powers of Arjuna, which was astonishing even to the denizens of heaven, were no longer required. And thus they were not meant for going back home, back to Godhead. If the endowment of powers, withdrawal of powers by the Lord are possible even for a great devotee like Arjuna, or even the demigods in heaven, then what to speak of the ordinary living beings who are but figs compared to such great souls? The lesson is, therefore, that no one should be puffed up for his powers borrowed from the Lord. The same man should rather feel obliged to the Lord for such benefactions and must utilize such power for the service of the Lord. Such power can be withdrawn at any time by the Lord, so the best use of such power and opulence is to engage them in the service of the Lord. Text 5 again. Arjuna vacha vanchitoham maharaja harina bandurupina yename paritam tejo deva vishmapanam mahat. Arjuna said, O King, Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus my astounding power, which astonished even the demigods, is no longer with me. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatun Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharane. As mentioned before in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was wondering what Krishna was doing, displaying his universal form. And therefore he asks Arjuna, Agyakiko mo bhavan ugrurupo namostu te deva vara prasida vigyatyam ichchami bhavantamadyam nahi prajanami tava pravritim. O Lord of Lords, O Master of the Senses, please tell me who you are. I don't know what your mission is, and I desire to hear about it. So Krishna revealed his mission to Arjuna. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kalo Smi Loka Shaye Krit Prarido, Lokanta Maharta Miha Praridak, Vite Pitwam Na Bhave Shanti Sarve, Yet Vastita Pratnu Kesh Yoda. The time I am the destroyer of all the worlds, and I have come here to engage all the people, with the exception of the Pandavas, everyone here on all the different sides will be slain. In other words, Krishna came here to kill everyone. And in the form of time, Krishna is doing exactly that. Everyone is born, and practically speaking, what's happening is everyone's struggling to survive. But although no matter how hard someone struggles to survive, ultimately everyone is vanquished in the course of time. So then the question is that if Krishna's mission is to come here to destroy everyone, and everyone's mission here is to try and survive, and no one survives, then what did he expect Arjuna to do? So he told Arjuna, Tasmat tvam yuti shisho labhasva jidva shatrum bhukshvara jansramidam mayavata niyata puravameva nimitra matram bhavasavasachin. He expected Arjuna to get up and prepare to fight. Krishna uses this word many times. Utishta. Jeev jago, gora chandra pole. In other words, the main thing for the conditioned soul in this material world is to wake up. We can see it's quite hard. It's quite a struggle to stay awake. But that's the whole purpose. Tasmat tvam yukti shola vasva, or Krishna says, Tasmat agina sambhutam ritstam jnana sanatmanaha chitvainam samshayam yogam atishto tishta bharata. That these doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance. And what is the doubt that's risen in our heart out of ignorance? What is the main ignorance that everyone is suffering for or from? The main ignorance is that we're our false ego. This is where all our ignorance is centered around. This falsely thinking that aham kar, I am this body, and I am the doer of my activities. Therefore, throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is trying to awaken Arjuna to the fact that neither you are a body, nor you are actually the doer of the activity. He says, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. That one who thinks himself to be the doer of the activities, which are actually carried out by the three modes of nature, he's said to be vimudatma. He's befooled. And one who's determined to stay in this consciousness, Krishna also says he's vimudatma. And why does he do it? He says because of envy. Eme matam idam nityam anutishti me matam sharavano susuyascha. That one who follows my teaching without envy becomes free from sinful reactions. And then he says, yetve tan avyusuyanto nanatishti me matam sarva jnana vimudam stam vidinashtana chetasa. For those who don't follow these teachings, are said to be bereft of all, because of envy, are said to be bereft of all intelligence, and they are doomed to ignorance and bondage. So what is this teaching? The teaching, ultimately, Krishna says, is that we have to surrender to Him. Bhagavad Gita is simply meant to convince us that it's in our interest to surrender to Him. Now, if we don't surrender to Krishna, Krishna says, we'll have to surrender to Maya. Therefore he said, Yadahankara ashitya, yotsya iti manyase, mityaisha vyavisayaste, prakritis tvam yunayokshati. That under illusion, you now, declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by your own nature, Arjuna, you'll be forced to act all the same. In other words, our whole mission is somehow or another give up this ahankar, this ego, that I am the independent doer, that I am the independent controller, that somehow or another I'm independent from Krishna. Krishna more or less explains very detailed in Bhagavad Gita how everything we do ultimately depends upon Him, because as a super soul in our heart, He gives us the intelligence by which we can do anything. Therefore, although generally we think ourselves, when we raise our hands, or we speak, or we try and listen, we think ourselves independent, but Krishna spends most of the Bhagavad Gita trying to convince us that we're not independent. That everything ultimately is depending upon Krishna. So does that mean that Krishna is responsible for whatever goes on? Tama Vrikshapro. Krishna is responsible. Is that right? Krishna's, there he is. He's the cause of the whole thing. He looks innocent playing his flute. But all these horrible things that are going on, he's the cause behind it. Is that right? Well, you just said he was the cause. Then what does he have to do with it? He says that we're not the doer. So who is the doer? What's that? The false ego. That's the doer. Krishna's innocent. Oh, it's the modes of nature. Krishna's innocent. We're innocent. It's the false ego and the modes that are causing all these problems. Who's causing all the problems? What's that? Mother Jai Bhadra. Yes. Therefore, Krishna says, Adishtanam tata karata karanam cha pritag vidan vivitas cha pritag chesta daivam chaivatma panchamam. There are five causes in the accomplishment of any kind of work. So what are those five causes? Varyampuru? What is one of the causes? What's that? Who's desiring? Yes. So the soul is known as karta. He's known as the doer because of his desiring. But is that sufficient, just by desiring, that everything comes about? Primarnava. Just by the soul's desiring, does everything happen? Svabhaviki Gyanabala Kriyacha. Does that verse pertain to the soul? Parasya Shakti Irvi Daivashuyate Svabhaviki Gyanabala Kriyacha. You know that, does that describe the soul? Just by his desire, everything happens? What other factor has to be there? Endeavor, yes. So the soul not only has to desire, but he has to endeavor. Is that sufficient? Just the endeavor and the soul's desire? Yes, daiva. Daiva has to be there. Krishna and the demigod, Krishna through his agencies, he has to sanction it. Anything else? Yes. Yes, there has to be some kind of connection between the soul and the activity, which is known as endeavor. That's actually in the material world, that's known as endeavor, the connection between the soul and the false ego. Anything else? What's that? Yes, we have to have a body with senses, or else we can't do anything. So these are the five factors for the accomplishment of any kind of work. So Krishna says, what is his part in the whole thing? He keeps on saying that he's neutral. Upadrasta namanta cha bharata boka maheshara paramatmiti. Anything else? What's that? Yes, we have to have a body with senses, or else we can't do anything. So these are the five factors for the accomplishment of any kind of work. So Krishna says, what is his part in the whole thing? He keeps on saying that he's neutral. Upadrasta namanta cha bharata bhokta maheshara paramatmiti chapyuto dehesmin purusha para. There's another, a transcendental enjoyer. In other words, Krishna didn't come to the material world because he wants to have a good time. Things were getting bored in the spiritual world. Everyone was so, you know, he decided to lord it over here. See what it would be like to really be God. But that's not why Krishna came to the material world. He's the transcendental enjoyer, and he's the overseer and permitter, but he's the witness and the sanctioner. He's sanctioner. Although he's the Bharata, the Bhokta, Maheshwara, but ultimately he's the sanctioner. Udasinadvarasinam asaktam teshu kamasu name nacha metani karmani nivandanti dananjaya udasinadvarasinam asaktam teshu kamasu. Krishna says, I'm ever detached, sitting as though neutral. So Krishna is like the judge. That's the amazing thing about Krishna, is that he has the capacity to be completely neutral in the material world. Here, Krishna is maintaining everyone and controlling everything. But although he's maintaining everyone and controlling everything, still he's completely aloof. Now, generally, if you maintain someone, you get attached. And if you're being maintained by someone, you become attached to them. But here in the material world, the souls, although they're being maintained by God, they're completely detached from him. And although God is maintaining everyone, Krishna is completely detached from everyone. Although Krishna is controlling everything, Krishna is completely unattached. And although the soul is controlling nothing, he's completely attached. So this is the Yogam Aishvara. Completely, inconceivably, the reversal of attachment, detachment between Krishna and the conditioned souls. So, Krishna is neutral, although he's controlling everything, and the soul, he's completely attached, although he's controlling nothing. So because of that, the soul finds himself in what's called illusion. This is called illusion. Now Krishna, he knows he's controlling everything, but he's aloof, because that's what he says in Bhagavad Gita. But the soul, due to illusion, he doesn't know, due to his attachment, he thinks he's controlling everything. As I mentioned the story, I guess Prabhupada told the story many times. One time he told it to one temple president in Los Angeles, he pointed out that in the spiritual world there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets, and they all fit into Goloka Vrindavan, which is also unlimited. And one little small little cloud is in there in the spiritual world, which hardly anyone takes notice of because it's so tiny. And in that cloud, Mahavishnu lies down from the pores of his body, come unlimited universes. And each one of the universes, he enters his Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And in the smallest of the universes, he lies down. And it's, the size of the universe is so inconceivably small, the center of it, where all these planets are, where Mahavishnu creates all the planets, that if you take one point and you draw a line 32 miles away, that one little dot is the size of the center of the universe, and the line 32 miles away represents the coverings of the universe, the thickness of the coverings. So in that little tiny space, there is a four-headed Brahma, the smallest of all the Brahmas are born. He creates unlimited universes. There are more unlimited planets. There are more planets in the universe than the number of sand, the amount of sand there is on the beach. And one little tiny planet called the Earth planet has so many different continents, and on one continent there is called North America, and in North America there is one state called California, and in California there are so many different cities. One is called Los Angeles. In Los Angeles there are so many different streets, and one of them is called La Cienega Boulevard, and in La Cienega Boulevard there's so many houses, and one is one house called a temple, and in that temple there's one temple president, and he thinks that he's controlling everything. So the living entity, although he's so tiny, somehow or another due to his false ego, he thinks himself that somehow or another by his endeavor he'll control more and more and more. Idam adyam ayad labvam imam prapsye manovratam idam astiyam apime bhavishati panardhanam adyo aso mayahatak shatrur anishe chaparanapi ishvaraham aham bhogi siraham balavan suki. So much is mine today, and it'll increase more in the future. I have so much wealth, and I'll gain more and more according to my schemes. He is my enemy, and I have killed him. And my other enemies will also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect. I am powerful. And I am happy. I am surrounded by all kinds of aristocratic relatives. There is no one so perfect and happy as I am. I shall perform some sacrifice. I'll give a little charity. And this way I'll rejoice. So Krishna says this is the delusion of ignorance. Claiming ourselves to be independent in any respect. In other words, the body is given by material nature. The intelligence perform activities is given by the super soul. The senses by which he can do things is caused by material energy. His endeavors, because of his connection with the body, is caused by the false ego. And what is the soul doing? He's simply sitting there desiring. But because he's an illusion, instead of desiring to serve Krishna, he's now desiring to serve the temporary material energy. So, therefore, here it says, or as Krishna says in many different ways, Rasoham apsnukontiya pravasi shasi suryo pranava sarvavedeshu shabdake parusham rishu. That parusham rishu means that whatever ability we have, sharira vangmano viryat, karma paravite nara, vyayam va chavayutam va, panchate tasya hetava. Whatever a person does with body, mind, or words, whether right or wrong, is performed by these five factors. So whether we're a great personality in this material world, building, you know, controlling planets, like Lord Brahma, or countries, like the, you know, rulers of countries, or were the insignificant ant, everything in the material world is done according to these five factors. So Prabhupada says that a great personality like Brahma, he's gotten that position because of his previous pious activities. One may be a Shaktivesha avatar because of his, either he's a Nitya Siddha devotee or his previous engagement in devotional service, or what may be the insignificant ant because of his previous sinful activities. In any case, this is all arranged by Krishna through his personal energies. Therefore, here it says that even Arjuna, who was doing wonderful things, and what were some of the wonderful things he was doing? Does anyone remember? What wonderful things did Arjuna do? Yes, so he was a good marksman.
Very powerful enemies.
Such as?
Bhishma.
Yes, he killed Bhishma, he killed Karna, he killed the Nivachaka. What's that? Niva. Could you say it louder? Nivatakarachas. All these demons were attacking Lord Indra. He defeated. How did he get the Pashupati weapon? Yes, he defeated Lord Shiva. Can anyone here fight against Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva, who holds on his hair the Ganges, just like Ravana, who was so powerful, he thought he would defeat all the demigods. He came to Mount Kailas, and he tried to hold up Mount Kailas. So he was holding up Mount Kailas, and then what did Lord Shiva do? He put his foot down, and Ravana became crushed. He's crushing little Ravana. So Lord Shiva is so powerful that Arjuna personally fought against him and practically defeated him. So Arjuna was so powerful, but then suddenly, when Krishna withdrew all the powers, when he was bringing the queens from Dwarka back to Hastinapur, then a bunch of infidel cowards men came and attacked the party, and Indra and Arjuna could not even defeat the cowherd men. Therefore, although at one moment he was so powerful he could practically defeat Lord Shiva, the next moment he couldn't even defeat a cowherd boy. So he understood that these empowerment or disempowerment, this is all due to Krishna's mercy. Similarly, when Krishna wanted, although his family members, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, Samba, Charudeshna, all these great personalities, when Krishna wanted, they were able to conquer even the demigods. Although someone like Shalya had been given so much power by Lord Shiva, he had given this airplane, Shaubhagya, I think it's called Shaubhagya, by which he was able to fly and it was like complete, it was the ultimate. What do they call these deceptive airplanes? The U-2 airplanes, whatever it is. Stealth airplane. It was the ultimate stealth airplane. It could appear in many different places simultaneously. No one knew it was in the air on the land. It could throw down rocks and poisonous snakes. And, you know, there's a whole army on this airplane. But still, Pradyumna and Shamba and all these other great personalities are able to ultimately defeat the whole army of Shalva. They're able to perform so many wonderful things. Pradyumna, he defeated the Sambara demon. They're all great personalities, but when Krishna wanted, he arranged it that they all vanquish each other and disappear. Just like a magical show. Although, no one actually disappears. Prabhupada would always say that death means sleeping for a few months. So now we're in this body, and now we think we have a certain position, a certain responsibility, a certain empowerment, but ultimately we are all transferred to another body, either a spiritual one or a material one, and we're given a whole another set of empowerment, a whole another yantra to work in. So now we may think, well, I'm a very important person, I own this huge, all these industries, and I'm controlling so many things, I have these skyscrapers, But if one is performing sinful activities, then he'll have to take a lower species of life in his next lifetime. So now he's a great industrialist, and then next lifetime he becomes a mouse in the same factory. Due to his attachment, he comes back into the factory, he gets a free room in it, but because of his sinful activities, he becomes a mouse. So that's the same thing for everyone. Whatever we're thinking, whatever we're speaking, whatever we're doing, we get a reaction for it, good or bad. That reaction carries, if we're in material life, we will get another body. And if we're in spiritual life, the reaction will be that we'll develop our spiritual consciousness, our spiritual awareness, our spiritual life will develop. And at the same time, whatever we're doing externally will also, if we're not fully in Krishna consciousness, we'll get some kind of reaction for it. Even though it may be working in devotion, but if we're not fully devoted, if we still have some attachment, we also get some result for what we're doing. So in every respect, Krishna is watching us as a super soul. He's giving us now, according to what we've done in the past, the reactions. So someone may be thinking, I'm very wealthy, I'm very rich, I'm very famous. Someone else may be thinking, I'm very poor, I'm very sickly, I'm very insignificant. But in the future, everything may be switched around. Therefore, it is advised, and it's rather than working for creating a so-called good situation in the future, which one can get if he does the right activities and follow Krishna's instructions, those who are actually intelligent, they should only work or try to work to develop their spiritual life. Because that's the only thing that's permanent. It's the only thing that we can actually get a permanent result for, an auspicious permanent result for. Therefore it said, tasyaiva heto prayate tako vido, talabhyate yat brahmatam uparida, talabhyate dukavaranyatakshukam, kayena gavir sarvatra gavir kayena sarvatra gavira ramhasa. That those who are actually intelligent and who are philosophically inclined should endeavor for that purposeful end, which is not obtained from either wandering up and down throughout all the planetary systems. In other words, we can try to get a permanent place full of happiness anywhere in the material world, and we may find some temporary place which has some happiness, but ultimately we'll have to give that place up and find another place. So if we really want to work for our permanent well-being, therefore it's recommended devotional service. And in devotional service, what is the main qualification? What does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say is the siddha pranali for devotional service? What is the basic principle? What's that? Yes. Trinada pisunichena. So what is this? The humility? It comes from the recognition that actually I'm not the doer. I'm simply dependent upon Krishna. And therefore, whatever Krishna puts me into, I must simply try to figure out what Krishna wants me to do under these circumstances. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. So this word, su, means what? What does su mean? What's that? Yes. Auspicious, actually. Susa miksha. Susa sama. Sama means what? Yeah, here it means completely. And iksha? To see. Yeah, to see. Intelligent, to see. And mana? The mind. So susamikshamano means that one who can see with his intelligence, sama, su, one who sees everything properly with his intelligence and accepts it with his mind. So how does one come to see everything perfectly and accept it with his intelligence and mind? How is that possible to do that? Bhakti Rembrandt. How do you make some progress to see things more perfectly? How do you get knowledge? Yes. Isn't that what you're doing? Anyhow, that's the process. In other words, by hearing, we're trying to understand everything perfectly. So we can see things as they are and accept it, develop the proper mood and mentality. So what is that mood and mentality? That we're going to learn that actually I'm a great soul, but no one realizes it. That's why there's so many problems in the movement. That's the main problem, is because all the offenses against me, therefore that people are suffering. No, Atmakritam. What is Atmakritam? Means that I'm suffering now because of what I've done in the past. Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. Vipakam, I'm receiving reactions because of my own atmakritam, what I've done in the past. Whatever I've desired in the past, because of my causes, unwillingness to serve Krishna, therefore I've created so many problems for myself. And bunjana eva atmakritam vipakam tat ridvag vapubir. So what do I do? Ridvag vapubir. With my body, mind, and words, vidadanamaste, I'm supposed to surrender them to Krishna. So one who can do that, one who realizes that I'm suffering just because of what I've done in the past, I may have a very nice position, just like to be the President of the United States right now. It's certainly a more powerful position than most of us have. But which is more auspicious? Being the President of the United States or being one of the Matajis making a garland right now? Which would you rather be, Mother Jai Bhadra? So he's in a very powerful position due to his past activities. But because he's acting sinfully, therefore, I think Prabhupada once said that President Johnson became a germ on the foot of a rat. Something like that. So who would want to become a germ on the foot of a rat for millions of years? Therefore, one should, whatever position one is placed in, if one utilizes that for one's body, mind, and words for Krishna, then jiveta yo bhukti sade sadaya bhak, then he becomes eligible to advance towards the spiritual platform of consciousness. So Prabhupada is warning us here that the real purpose of everything Krishna is empowering the devotees to do, whether it's Arjuna or the Pandavas or Prahlad Maharaj, the whole purpose of the whole creation is what? Panavijaya. What is Krishna empowering everyone to do? What's Krishna's purpose for empowering everyone? What is Krishna hoping to get out of the creation? What is Krishna's purpose of the creation? Yes, so that's Krishna's whole purpose. And he empowers all his devotees to do that. So all the devotees are empowered for that purpose, to help bring people back to Krishna consciousness. That's the only mission here that Krishna has. So Krishna is going to empower all of us. Sometimes he'll give us more empowerment. And what happens when we misuse that power? What does Krishna do? Puna mushika bhava. Again, become a mouse. So we've already seen that. Great personalities. You know, Prabhupada once said, of course, within our society, he compared it in 1977 to the great personalities within our society. He said they're just like casta bushes. That in the absence of big trees, that a casta bush is a big tree. And a casta bush is a little tree. It's a little bush. In any case, compared to a little plant, a casta bush is a big tree. Which is true. But if one misuses that power that Krishna invests in one, then puna mushika bhava, then again become a mouse. So that doesn't apply only to great personalities, but it applies to all of us. Just like we have one offense called committing sin on the strength of chanting. So I may think that I've saved up so much pious activities, I've done so much, now I can enjoy. Prabhupada gives the example of the bed bug. That the bed bug, during the winter, it lays in the bed, and it gets real thin because it doesn't do anything. So it looks very renounced, and it's, detached from everything. But in the summer, when it gets warm again, Then it wakes up and starts sucking blood and gets real fat again. So, sometimes we may be real fat and sometimes we may be thin. In any case, one should not think that because of my great prowess, therefore I become so great. That one should understand that everything, whatever position we're put into, whatever knowledge we have, whatever activities we can perform, it's all due to the mercy of Krishna. And therefore, one should go on trying to surrender more to Krishna, trying to see how to better utilize one's energies in Krishna's service. This is Krishna's advice. And that what will be the result of doing that? Yajgatvana punamaham evam yasasi pandava yena buddhine sheshani jakshasyatmini tomaya. That you'll get out of illusion. This illusion that anyone here is independent. One will see perfectly well that everything and everyone is completely dependent upon Krishna in every respect. And therefore, one will become completely dependent upon Krishna. So this is actually the beginning of, this is how one transcends the modes of material nature. And even that surrender is not exactly the perfection of life. The perfection of life comes when one falls in love with Krishna. But unless one surrenders to Krishna, one will not be able to understand Krishna. And unless one understands Krishna, then how one will be able to love Krishna? So we can go on and on, but it's a little late. So I'll stop there. Of course, today is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day, so we honor him because he understood this philosophy and he was able to present it so nicely to the Western world. He presented many literatures and his life was exemplary in becoming an instrument for Krishna. And he also had the idea of preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. That a pure devotee is not a devotee simply is expert at bhajan, but is also a devotee who's expertly, his bhajan is such that awakens others to Krishna consciousness also. And today is the appearance day of Lord Vamanadeva. We're celebrating his appearance day, who came on the behalf of the demigods to regain the kingdom that Indra had lost. And he performed amazing pastimes to do so. So Krishna shows how amazingly he works in order to bring the conditioned souls back to the spiritual world, that no one could duplicate that. And he shows through his devotees amazing things can be done by his devotees also, if they're empowered by Krishna to do the same thing. So somehow or another, if we can become instruments for Krishna, for his mission, then he'll also empower us, maybe a lot, maybe a little. But the important thing is that if we utilize whatever energy we have in his service, then the result is that we'll at least become Krishna conscious. That we'll get the ultimate, the highest benefit. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments, Maharaj? Any questions? Yes.
This Maharaj was speaking in terms of how based on someone, for example, someone is in certain circumstances and because he is not materially in power, so he thinks humble. And another humble attitude is when someone actually understands his position in accordance to God and he is humble.
So that's really humility. The other humility is not considered. That humility can change at any time. Of course, that humility is arranged by the material energy also. Because if one is in such a humble position, Prabhupada writes, he may receive the saintly persons and gain real knowledge. Just like a person may be put into a poverty-stricken position, and because of that, he may be reluctant to inflict pain upon others. And Prabhupada said the advantage of a person who is poverty-stricken is that when the saintly persons go door-to-door, that he'll invite them in. So he doesn't have so much pride. But a wealthy person who's in an opulent position, many times he criticizes or even blasphemes or even does harm to the sadhus. Therefore, it's very difficult for him to receive spiritual education. Yeah, sure. Without that attitude, it's impossible to hear anything. Therefore, it's prapan tadvidi prani patena. So, first one has to be a little surrendered. That requires some humility. Madhitvam, adambitvam. The first qualification for developing knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is amaditvam, the absence of false prestige. Or as they say in English, in slang, if you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. So you don't have nothing, it's hard to be puffed up. It's harder, because everyone in the material world thinks of themselves to be the body. That's also a false possession. But generally, if you have houses and cars and empires, then your tendency to get into illusion is even more. So, therefore, Prabhupada writes, Yasya Anugrahami Kurishe Taddanam Shanai. That Krishna writes that. That sometimes when I see my devotee, he's attached to so many things, sometimes they take them away. Take away all his possessions. When he has nothing left, then he has no choice but to come back to me, to surrender to me. So there's an advantage of being poverty-stricken. Of course, too much poverty-stricken can also take away. It's not very auspicious either. At least one should have enough, just what's necessary. That's what the devotees have faith in, that Krishna will at least give us what's necessary. But too much is not good, and too little is not good either. But just enough, what we actually need. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The appearance day Mahahotsava Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. Appearance day of Lord Vamana Dev Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.